My name is Andy Conlin, and I'm a graduate student researcher with the Africa Center. Today, you're listening to Field Notes. Field Notes is a growing communications project designed to collect and promote research and communications from Colorado State University and beyond. Today, we're talking to Joy Anyanaya. Joy is a PhD student from Abia State in Nigeria, and is pursuing a degree in media communication, as well as a graduate certificate in women and gender studies, both at Colorado State University. Her research focuses on the ways women entrepreneurs create business identities in online spaces, as well as how they use the different affordances of technological platforms to negotiate and subvert patriarchal structures. Join me in welcoming Joy. So welcome, Joy.
Thank you.
Can you go ahead and give us just a brief introduction to who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Joy. I am a PhD candidate in the Department of Journalism and Media Communications. I am also an instructor in the Women's Studies Department. I have the opportunity to teach women of color in the U.S. I also am a research assistant. I work with faculty in my department, Dr. Ashley Anderson, on a misinformation project funded through the Anschutz Fellowship.
Can you tell us a little bit about your work and what research questions you're trying to answer?
Sure. So my current study looks at how Nigerian Igbo women fashion designers rely on technology, new media technology, specifically Instagram, for self-presentation, and how technology platforms allow them to navigate gender dynamics within culture. And so the research questions that I have that guided my study was, first of all, how are Nigerian Igbo women fashion designers using Instagram to present themselves on that platform as they promote their businesses? And in what ways are they negotiating gender dynamics within patriarchal structures, within culture?
Great, good summary. What experiences in your life have led you to where you are in your research today?
Great question. So I came to the US about 7 years ago, and again, I'm from Nigeria and I identify as Igbo, so I have situated knowledge with the demographic that I'm working with. And so I knew I had navigated some gender issues, right, within my culture. And so that was something I wanted to unpack and uncover. That was not my first curiosity. But secondly, when I came here, I observed that there was almost a misrepresentation of not just Nigerians, but like Africa as a continent, right? So I didn't see enough of research, particularly in how African technology users approach and navigate technology. And, you know, they do, right? But there isn't enough theories to study that, to understand it. There isn't enough academic studies on that. And so that was what piqued my interest to really dig in to understand, because the ways that they use technology might be different, the ways they approach it. When we think about technocultural practices, right, a lot of people approach technology based on their own cultural experiences, and that could be different from one place to another. And so that's why I decided to study Nigerian Igbo women, particular to Igbo culture, to see how their culture influences how they use technology.
And as kind of a follow-up question for that, your focus on technology, mm-hmm. what kind of sparked that specific interest?
Sure. So I've always been like a tech nerd, right? I love digital technology. I've always gravitated towards like social media. It's interesting, like my sister would definitely laugh at me because she's like, you're never reading my posts and sharing my content. Sorry. But my curiosity is mainly around how people use it for different things rather than really using it. And so I've always also been interested in media technology. So think about videography, photography, things like that. My background, so I have a my bachelor's and my master's were in agriculture economics. And I did love it. You know, I loved the marketing, finance side of things. But I realized that I was engaging with, you know, technology curiosity as more of a hobby and just, you know, something that I love doing. And I came to CSU and I found out that I could actually merge my interest with my research. And so that's why I applied to the program, and it's been a wonderful experience ever since.
Amazing. That's awesome. I love hearing about people's journeys to how they landed in their career path.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's a great fit for you.
Thank you.
For people who are new to this field, how do you explain the intersection of women's issues and online identities?
That is a great question. So something that I found from my study, which was interesting, was that Nigerian Igbo women, the kinds of content that they created online pushed back against some, you know, patriarchal structures, right? So there are certain fabrics that they were not allowed to wear. It was only exclusive to men, particularly men who were prominent and given like leadership roles within community. But some of these women were using these fabrics and creating them in their own styles, in their own ways. And so I saw that as a resistance, right? However, they weren't, because my study, I looked at their Instagram self-presentation and I had a conversation with them. So I interviewed these designers, and a lot of them were hesitant to particularly call out patriarchal structures and women oppressive practices within culture. Because they were worried about, you know, cyberbullying and how it would impact their relationships within their, you know, communities, etc. And so we definitely see that, yes, when we look at the West, right, and we think of how, you know, women's movement has advanced and feminism and how people are really shaking these oppressive structures against women, we see it in a different light within African structures and African communities, and the approach has to be different. And so I think that technology is a great tool to help us do that, either directly or indirectly. However, and this is something that I had in my recommendation, is new media technology platforms need to think about diversity in culture and how to protect women who want to do this, because their concerns are valid. There are studies that have shown that women do get attacked online. So for example, Instagram doesn't, you cannot report a comment, right, that is attacking a person. Maybe you make a post and somebody comes at you, you can't report that. You can report post, but you can't report comments, right? And so that was one of the critiques that I had for platforms, that they could do better to create a safer space for women to advocate for themselves, particularly within cultures that they have bigger concerns about taking those kinds of actions.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting to see the new wave of the internet and how the benefits are kind of widespread connectivity,
right,
and creating online communities, which I think is really great. But at the same time, people hide behind their keyboards and can be really hurtful and really mean and really damaging. So I think that's really an important thing for these platforms to be focusing on, absolutely. As a follow-up to that, you mentioned recommendations that you discovered through your research. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of your findings from your research and the recommendations that you've made based on those.
Sure. So something that I found was Nigerian women did use new media technology. So some particular affordances that they relied on was, for example, Reels on Instagram, and they cited that with Reels, they had wider reach and they could track, right? So think about maybe stories. Sometimes you could post a story, people see your stories, but it's ephemeral, it goes away. With posts, it's hard for other people who are not following you, except somebody else shares your, you know, stuff. But with Reels, when people share it, like, you get a wider reach. And in fact, one of the designers said, sometimes when she creates her content, in the first week, nothing happens. And then 2 weeks later, boom, like, she sees more following, she sees more views. So she recommended that. They used hashtags as well to situate their posts. And then they used direct messaging. But in terms of how they presented themselves on these platforms, there was a visual aesthetics theme across. So we could see that there was a lot of care with how they were intentional with photography, and it had to be, you know, they highlighted it had to be clean background, it had to be good, there had to be good lighting, it had to be Instagram worthy, right, before they would post it. Now, even when they make clothes and their clients send them pictures, sometimes they would want to share those pictures on their social media accounts, but they're like, this is not a really good picture. So they would take the extra step of editing and using, you know, Lightroom and different photo editing platforms to make them visually appealing. They were also authentic in how they were, you know, the kinds of content they were creating. A lot of Igbo-centric designs were coming through in terms of color, fabric, etc. And they presented themselves as relatable. So for example, one of the designers said she likes to post herself sometimes in her designs. She knows she doesn't have a perfect body, and she knows that not everyone has a perfect body. And hopefully people see her and know that if she can make something that can fit her, she can make something that can fit everyone. And so this was the findings, particularly with self-presentation. But I also observed that they did negotiate gender dynamics. So a lot of them experienced, you know, discrimination from childhood, and they didn't really say that they saw it within the fashion industry, but it was within culture, and they were socialized in these ways. So they cited, like, in their homes, there was that preference, the male child, and they had to do all the chores, you know, things like that. And when they wanted to go register their businesses, they always experienced difficulties because of their gender. And why they were able to pinpoint it on as a gender issue was some of them who were married would go with their husbands and boom, it was done, right? So some of them had issues with renting spaces for their, you know, businesses. And that was how I made that connection and said, I told them, look, even though you think it's not affecting your fashion design business, but on the other side of things, it is impacting your business. And so some of the recommendations that I had made was that, you know, we need to develop programming that would address these deep-rooted attitudes, because that's the only way, education, right? And the education should be centered around cultivating better attitude towards women. And so I recommend that it should take a systemic approach. So from a government level, business institutional level, community level, and individual levels. And these programs should work with community members to raise change agents that would ensure women are treated equally and fairly across all sectors. I also advocate for effective monitoring and evaluation to track the progress of those, so that it's not like just talk the talk, like we need to walk the walk too. And then technology platforms are encouraged to incorporate features that facilitate reporting cyberbullying, because again, they cited those concerns, so that women feel free. Because when we are able to tell our stories, right, online, then there is awareness. Then when there's an issue, then we can address them.
Absolutely. Thank you. From your perspective, what is the importance of supporting women entrepreneurs in online spaces, and what made you decide to focus on this element of media communications?
Great question. So we know that for every economy to thrive, we need every member of, you know, the community to feel empowered and supported. And studies have shown that communities that empower women do better, right? So I know that, for example, the Nigerian economy, as long as there is that gender divide in terms of economics, in terms of technology, we need to be more intentional to bridge that divide to boost the economy. And so that's why I think it's important to support women, because most of the times they fall through the cracks. Their issues are not centered. They are, like in Nigeria, they belong to historically marginalized identities within Nigeria. And so that was one of the reasons why I think, again, using a media technology component, because we know that technology continues to evolve, right? And it's the future, right? That's where we're headed. And the more we embrace this and try to have our women just come up in terms of using these platforms for businesses, there are a plethora of opportunities in terms of visibility, marketing. Think about international sales, right? So some of the designers said they are getting clients from all over the world, you know, and they're able to send measurements, you know, they see their posts, the clients would say, I want this particular design. They send their measurement, they make these clothes and ship them, you know, and that's bringing international income. And so technology is ultimately helping with those transnational business opportunities for women. So yes, that's one of the reasons that sparked this inquiry.
Great. Yeah, it's incredibly important research. So thank you for sharing that. What are some of the challenges you faced in conducting your research?
Fantastic question. First of all, time difference, because so I was able to interview 10 fashion designers. 8 of them were in Nigeria, but there's an 8-hour difference, okay, between both. And so when I was conducting the interviews, I followed the Association of Internet Researchers Ethical Guidelines, which advocated for ethical considerations around, you know, honoring your participants, honoring your community and yourself, right? And so the ways that I honored the women was asking them to pick a time that was most convenient to them. Now, was it convenient to me? No, because this was like 10 a.m. their time and it was 2 a.m. my time, for example. And so one way I took care of myself to make sure that, you know, I was alert during these interviews was I took naps in the daytime. I made sure that I was well rested around those that interview period. And that way we were able to have, you know, good thought-provoking conversations. But yeah, that was one of the things. I had anticipated technology concerns, but I did not get any. In fact, the only person that I eventually had issues with was at the tail end of her interview. And, you know, the videos were frozen. We couldn't hear each other. And we realized that if we turned off the video and just relied on audio, we were able to get through the interview. And so that was what we did. But other than that, I would say I think it went really well. I did like a snowball sampling, and I planned to recruit about 20 participants. I got 10, and I think that is a good number, particularly for a qualitative semester structure interview.
Absolutely, I agree. And yeah, while obviously the pandemic has been horrific in so many ways, I do think it's expanded our ability to have those conversations internationally.
Absolutely.
And so I'm glad that the technology worked in your favor this time around. On the flip side, what's been some of the most rewarding aspects of your work?
Great question. So I know that several of the designers, like after we have these conversations, you know, they would be like, thank you so much. This is the first time anyone has ever been interested in what we're doing, particularly from an academic standpoint. And so that just brought a lot of validation to the fact that we are not studying these women enough, right? And something else that was rewarding was I learned a lot of things about my culture that I didn't know. So for example, I found out about an ancient ideography that is a marking that is typically on fabrics that is a language. And it was used back in the 1900s for communication. And one of the designers let me know that it's actually coming back, and people are more embracing these culture, these fabrics, particularly because of the history that it embodies. To contextualize that, what I found out that in Black Panther, that particular language or design was used on the walls. Particularly, one of the pictures was with Nakia. She was standing in a room in a black leather outfit, and some inscriptions on the wall was in CBD, right? And so we're seeing this reclaiming of this historical language, and it's coming back, and there is an embracing of it, not just within Nigerian culture, but on, you know, in pop culture as a whole. So that makes it really interesting.
Yeah, that's important representation as well, that's to see that on screen, especially with the Marvel movies are huge. So before we started recording, you mentioned that you're defending soon. You're at the tail end of your PhD.
Yes.
So what are some of your career or research goals coming up in the next couple of years?
Great question. So I recently accepted an assistant professor offer in the University of the Fraser Valley in Canada to start in January. And so my future research trajectory is to continue on in this work. Something I forgot to include was during the course of my dissertation, I created a new theory. It's called the African Technoculture of Feminist Theory, because again, there are insufficient theories to understand the ways African technology users use technology, particularly from that technocultural standpoint. And so I plan to further develop ATFT, do more research that would, the goal of ATFT doesn't only focus on women, it focuses on every African technology user. However, it does call for a feminist perspective, which requires an uplifting of marginalized voices. And so whatever identity within culture has not been centered, this theory calls for that, right? And so I want to continue this work. I am also interested in understanding indigenous communities better, particularly from a science communication standpoint, because my research has also been around particularly misinformation and how different technology platforms amplifies and impacts indigenous communities negatively, right? Those are the areas that my future research is taking me to right now.
That's amazing. Congratulations on your position.
Thank you.
That's very exciting. So again, now that you'll be moving into a position of assistant professor, you'll probably be working with some new, fresh graduate students.
Yes.
So what's a piece of advice you would give to new graduate students, master's, PhD, anything?
That's a good question. You can do it. You can do it. I think that was something that my mentors kept telling me. They kept having me remember that. And I think I want to pass that along, because for the longest time, and honestly, if I'm being transparent, till right now we're speaking, I still experience imposter syndrome. I still question, you know, am I good enough? Are they going to see through me that, you know, I don't deserve to be here, right? And so I recognize that a lot of grad students come into program and they have the same feeling and sentiment about themselves. And so my goal is to keep, you know, speaking into them and letting them know, hey, like, you deserve to be here. You're good enough. There's something in you and the world cannot wait to see it, right? So just keep doing it. You're on the right track. You can do it.
Amazing. As a graduate student, I feel like you're talking to me and I'm like, I can do it. That's really great. Thank you. So to finish off, I like to give my interviewees a platform to direct listeners to any resources that you'd like anyone to see, anything that you'd like to share.
Great, yes. The defense is going to be on October 5th, 10 a.m. It's going to be at Clark, C256. I plan to have a hybrid session of that, so folks are invited to come. I'm happy to share that link. Also, I had the opportunity to share about African technocultural feminist theory here at CSU at the recently concluded TEDxCSU. And so the link is online. Please, if you're curious about that, I invite you to, you know, go watch that, listen to that. The article, I'm still working on it. I got to revise and resubmit, so I need to do that. Once that publication is out, it will be ready for academic use in the classrooms. And yes, if you are an African scholar and you're interested in technology and interested in that intersection of technology and culture, please use this theory to center African technology users.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joy. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I wish you luck with your defense and the rest of your PhD and your future career.
Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation.
If you are a new listener, feel free to connect with the Africa Center by visiting africacenter.colostate.edu. And the tab at the top that says connect will allow you to join our email list where you can receive newsletters as well as information about upcoming events. We look forward to seeing you next time, and thank you for listening to Field Notes.